the Lord. Father God, I just thank you for everyone today who is listening. I thank you, Lord God, that your word is truth. I thank you that your word is alive and we will be made alive. Hallelujah. When we allow your word, Lord God, to just fill us up and to have free course in our being. Father, I just thank you right now for Jesus Christ, our Savior. I thank you, Lord God, for Jesus Christ, our Savior. I thank you, Father God, for the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth. Lord God, I thank you right now for this precious opportunity that you give us as your people to assemble in this fashion, Lord God, that we might come around your word together and hear what thus saith the Lord. Father God, I just thank you for this brand new day. I thank you, Father God, hallelujah, for your faithfulness toward your people in Jesus' name. And I give you praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, Hebrews 11, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3, and I'm going to come back and say something to you here. Well, actually, let me just begin in Hebrews chapter 10, where we are encouraged not to cast away, let me just read it. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That believe to the saving of the soul. That means you dig in and you hold on. I'm going to come back to that. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I heard this pastor say something the other day that just blessed my soul. He said, 2020 gave your faith, your faith went to the gym in 2020. In other words, your faith got a good workout in 2020. And so, listen, your faith, our faith, did get a good workout this past year. I love you, Lord, and will love you forever. Got a good workout this year. I'm going all the way. I'm not going to turn back. Got a good workout this year. I know that the Lord is with me and he will never leave me nor forsake me. Got a good workout this year. I'm saved and I know I'm saved and I'm not turning back. Got a good workout this year. Because with the pressures and the chaos and all of the craziness of this year, we've had an opportunity in the lockdown. We've had an opportunity to see where we really are with the Lord. If I truly do believe God, there are those among us who did what Psalm 40 verse 1 says. And I want you to see this over here because I just get excited when I read this verse. I wasn't going to read it. I was just going to refer to it, but I'm going to go over here and read it because this verse just gets me excited. But Psalm 40 verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Verse 3 says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. That first line of verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. It literally means that I bound myself to the Lord. It means I dug in. I heard the word of the Lord. I heard God say he's my help. I heard God says he's my deliverance. And so I clung to him. And as I clung to him, I didn't let the dark days shake me loose. I didn't let my troubles make me go, oh, but the Lord is not faithful. I didn't let all of the things that happened to me shake me off, but I kept holding on to the Lord. I dug in for my dear life because I knew that my life depended on Him. You see, everything about your life depends on how you cling to God, how you trust Him. And so listen, your faith got a good workout. It went to the gym in 2020. That thing blessed me because I started to see that there were those who really didn't seize the truth of God's word the way they should have. And then there were areas where we could see we didn't have the hold that we thought we had. And we had a special kind of strength that we needed to hold on to God that would only come from the word of God, that would only come from our fellowship with God, our time spent with God. And so if your faith is going to endure, if you're going to hold out like these people are being encouraged to and like we're being encouraged to in Hebrews chapter 10 and Hebrews chapter 11, if our faith is going to carry us, then we're going to have to hold on to God and Him and Him alone. We're not going to have God and some other option. It's just going to be Him. This is the time where we need to be focused on God. If there was ever a time for the church to be real, it's now. If there's ever been a time for the church to know in our hearts that God is our life, period, it's now. Because the darkness of this world is only going to get thicker. It's only going to get crazier. But at the same time, the light of God and the glory of God upon your life is going to cause you to be an overcomer. It's going to cause you to outshine the darkness. It's going to cause you to outlast your troubles. And so now is the time for us to be really focused on the Lord. Amen. This is the time for us to stand by the profession of our faith. And that one thing that we profess is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He came into this world and died for our sins so that He could break the power of sin and death over our lives. Jesus came so that we could be free to be free. Jesus came so that God could show up in our person, so that He could show up in our lives in such a way that He would be glorified. There are those of us who in this past year are just hanging on by a thread right now because we didn't stay with the word. We didn't stay with God. We got distracted by our troubles. We got distracted in the times of trouble. But I want you to know today that God is still faithful. He didn't change because we did. Come on, somebody. He didn't change because we did. God has remained faithful, and He has not let you go because you let go. You better hear me. He didn't let you go because you let go. He didn't get tired of holding you because you got tired of holding on. He didn't let you go because He has promised that He would always keep you. He has promised that He would always be God to us, with us, and for us. Amen. And so, you know, as I was thinking about that, I thought about David in First Samuel chapter 17. And we always talk about the story of David and Goliath. But it was like, as I started to look at this and started to relate to this, I started to relate to the things that have been happening and the things that we have had to deal with. And I realized that David, in a time when everybody that was around him, was looking every place but at God, he kept on looking at God. And so when we look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, it opens up telling us that the Philistines have gathered their armies together to battle. And it tells us the name of this strange place where they were, Shokak or Shoko or whatever. And they gathered themselves against Israel. That's the main thing. And Saul, verse 2 says, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines who have gathered against them. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. In other words, this was a formidable force standing in front of them. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and he cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all of Israel heard these words, that's what I want you to see here, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Goliath came out 40 days and said the same thing every day. And these people got weary. They were worn down and they were tired. Why? Because their focus was not God. They were looking at Goliath, his size. In other words, they're looking at the size of the problem. They're seeing how much armor he's wearing. That he's bigger than they are. He's much more than they are. He's more well armed than they are. And they're dismayed at his words that says, if you can send somebody out who matches me and wins over me, then I'll be your servant. But if not, if I win, then you're going to be our servants. And so they're afraid. They're dismayed. Why? Because they're not trusting God. They're listening to those words that are coming at them. They're listening to the problem, and the problem is bigger to them than God. Now, David's father sends him to see about his brothers who are part of that army. And when David gets there, his brothers are agitated with him, and they're not being kind to him at all. So when David first gets there, he meets trouble. But he also sees this giant out here, and he wants to know, who is that? What is he doing? And why are you here? Why is he there? What's going on here? And they tell him who he is. And David said, what will happen for the man who takes him down? What's the difference in David and the rest of the army? There's a major difference going on here. The army of Israel has the same promises and the same God that David has. The same power that will back David is the same power that would back them. The difference is that they're not looking to God and he is looking to God. Back to my point earlier. It's one thing to know what the Word of God says. It's one thing to know the promises of God. It's another thing for them to be a living reality in your life. It's another thing for you to walk them out every day. If God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, then I don't care if you're standing in the midst of a big tribe and everybody is your enemy. You win because you realize that God is on your side. You win because you know that God is there with you, although it looks like you're alone. You know that you can't be alone because God has promised to never leave you alone. When chaos and confusion breaks out, you know that Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. My peace, not as the world giveth, I give you my peace. And so that makes you know, even in the most chaotic situation, my God, in the most chaotic situation, you know that you have undisturbed well-being. Why? Because you have a word from God that says, peace, peace. You have a word soul. You have a word from God that says your peace overcomes any storm that comes at you. Your peace protects you and keeps you in a safe place. When you know what God says and you act on it, the outcome is totally different. The Bible says that when we believe God, when we trust God, the outcome is salvation. The outcome is that we're rescued. The outcome is that I win, even though it may look like I'm the loser. So when Goliath comes out every day and shouts at these people, they have an opportunity to trust the word of God. God said to them, no matter what lands you go to, no matter the size of the people, no matter how much power the people have, you will never be overcome by these people because I will be with you. Your enemy will not be able to stand before you. They don't remember that. David does. Hallelujah. There is nothing that can be waged against you or me today that is greater than the word of the Lord that is keeping us by its power. David said, what happens to the man who brings him down? Notice, he doesn't wonder if he's going to bring him down. He says that he is coming down. Why? Not because of David's size. David, as a matter of fact, David is described as not a very big person in 1 Samuel 16. And so it's not because of his size. He doesn't compare himself to Goliath. He compares Goliath to God. And when you compare the problem to God, then you can see I win. When you compare the problem to God, then you can see I'm the one who overcomes. I am not the one who is going down. I am not the one who is going to run and hide because God has promised that he is my defender. God has promised that he'll fight my battles. If we don't know what he said, we won't be able to act on it. And if we do know what he said and don't act on it, we'll get the same results. Let me say that again. If we don't know what he said, we won't be able to act on it. If we do know what he said and don't act on it, we'll get the same results. The idea here is to know what God says and allow that to be your living reality. When God says, we are the blessed of the Lord, then we can take that to the bank because God is saying, I've got you covered no matter what life presents to you. No matter what comes in your life, God is saying, I've got you covered. The Lord is the one who keeps us. He's the one who saves us. Matthew 10, 22 says, Matthew 10, 22 that says, he that endureth, come on, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. He that endureth to the end shall be rescued. He that endureth to the end shall have the victory. He that endureth to the end, his soul will be saved. Remember what I read in Hebrews chapter 10, where he says, we don't give up and we don't quit. We don't draw back. We don't go back. We don't break and we don't run. But we hold on to the saving of our soul. We hold on until my mind, my will, my emotions, until all of that has been yielded to the presence and the power of God, until my thought processes are governed by God and his word and the will of God, until my emotional makeup is governed by the word and the will of God, until I am yielded to God, until my will is bent by the power and the desires and the plan of God, until the purposes of God are uppermost in my heart and my mind, I will be saved if I just hold on. And the just lives by what? By faith. They live by holding on until the word of God, my God, is more real in our lives than anything else. David is not coming to before Goliath in his own power. He's coming based on what God has promised. He's coming based on what God has said. My God, church, we have promises. We have promises of life and that more abundantly. We have promises that we are God's chosen people. We have promises that Jesus is building the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. We have promises that we are sealed by the power of the Holy Ghost, and that's just a down payment until the day that Jesus comes. As a matter of fact, we have a promise that Jesus is coming back for a body without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. We have promises from God for life evermore. We have promises of joy everlasting. We have promises that we are sanctified by the power of God's word. We have promises that Jesus is our sanctifier today. We have promises that the Holy Ghost will show us things to come. We have promises that the Holy Ghost, my God, speaks to us God's heart and God's will. And when we know it and we walk in it, we will live. We will live. We will have an abundant life. I'm telling you, there is no problem in your household today that you can't give to God and God won't work that thing out. You don't have a financial problem. You don't have a health problem. You don't have a relationship problem that God does not have the power and the answer for in his word. If it doesn't happen overnight, trust me, God is still going to do it. That's why he said we have to wait patiently. That's why we have to endure. We've got to have enduring faith. We've got to have that faith that perseveres, that faith that holds on, and that faith that outlasts the trouble, that faith that outlasts the doctor's report, that faith that outlasts the things that have been done and those things that have been said to break you down and to break your heart. You have got to have faith that reaches out to God and holds on to God, cling to God and refuse to let him go. God, this is what you said. When Jacob wrestled that night in Genesis chapter 32, verse 26, when Jacob wrestled that night, he wrestled until his name was changed. He wrestled until he was no longer the supplanter, but he was the Prince of God. You've got to hold on until you are. Until you are like the image that God saw before time began. Until you are who God says you are, you've got to hold on. There is a word. There is a word concerning you. And you've got to hold on until you be what God said. You have got to come through your tests, come through your trials. Hold on until God has, until you know that you know in reality, till it's working in your life, you have got to hold on. We've got to hold on. We just can't let go. We have to be like David. We have to look at the giant, size him up against God and not me, size him up against God, not the army, size him up against God and realize because God is bigger and God is on my side, I win. Come on. God is bigger. He's on my side. I win. And so when David comes and he says to them, I'm going to take him down. I'm going to take him down. He said, when I take him down. He said, I'm going to take him down. When he said that, his brothers thought he was being foolish. His brothers thought he had gotten beside himself. No, David sees God. He's looking at God. You got to look at God when the problem is more than you. You've got to look at God when all of your old habits and all of the things from the past want to close in and say, you're not saved, you're not delivered. You got to look at God and you got to remember that Jesus went to Calvary and he saved your soul. I don't care where you've been, what you've done, how long you did it. Jesus saved to the uttermost. So the Bible says he is able to save to the utmost, which means he is able to wipe out everything that could cause you to go astray and stay that way. He came to fix everything that could ever break in your life, including your mind. He came to fix it all. And today, we have to know that we are the just and that we live by our confidence in God. I believe God, not my circumstances. I believe God and not the political atmosphere of my country. I believe God and not the racial atmosphere of my country. I believe God. I believe God. And that's what we all have to do. We have to come to the place where we're holding on to God even when it feels like we ought to let go. Even when nobody else around us is trusting God. There was nobody trusting God that day but David. David didn't let that sway him. Why? Because down on the inside of him, in his heart of hearts, he understood some things about God. He understood that God is faithful. He understood that every promise God ever made his people is true and it will not fail. He understood that God cannot lie. He understood that God won't fail. He understood some things about God. He understood that God was on his side. He understood that it wasn't his strength that he had to have that day. He understood that it was God. So when they offered him armor and he put the armor on that all of them was wearing and doing them no good, when he put the armor on, he said, this doesn't feel right. This is not how I go into battle. When I go into battle, I go, hallelujah, clothed in the understanding that the Lord God is with me and that the Lord God fight my battle. He killed a lion for me. He took care of a bear for me, and he will this too. David said, doesn't matter the size of the problem. Doesn't matter what angle the problem comes at me. God is still my defense. Come on here. I had one kind of problem. God took it bigger than me. Had another kind of problem bigger than me. God took it. This guy is bigger than me too. And I say today that I will bring him down in the name of the Lord. So David didn't wear the armor. Why? It didn't fit. That's not how God worked with him. It wasn't working for them. They all had it. Come on, church. Remember what the word of God has said to you. Know what God says and start clinging to the things that God has promised you. Get a hold of the word of God concerning your life and hold on to that life no matter which ways you have been thrown about and you are being tossed about. Because when the tossing is over, it will be you and God, and you will have the victory. David got stones and a slingshot. The giant said, really? You will send this little fella out here and he will come against me? I think not. But you see, he's looking at David. David's looking at God. And David knows God has promised him the victory no matter the battle. No matter the battle, you have the victory. No matter the battle, you have the victory. David is assured of God's faithfulness. He's assured of God's promises. And that's the way we've got to be. We need to know what God has said. That's why I'm always encouraging. Not only read your word, study your word, spend time with God every day. Spend time with God in prayer. Why? So you can know the heart of God concerning you. So that when the challenge comes, when the lies come, when the confusion comes, you won't give up because you will know a lie for what it is. Some people study what other people believe. No, study the Bible and you'll know the difference. You'll know what's not God. I don't need to know what other religions practice. I just need to know what this says. And when I know what the Bible says, when I know what the Word of God says, that's what I stand on. And the rest of that stuff is going to fall to the wayside because only the Word of God will last forever. Only the Word of God can give you peace. Only the Word can break up the darkness. Only the Word can make the light come on and shine bright. Only the Word can really lead and guide you through life. Not the club you belong to. It's the Word of God. Know what God has said. David apparently knew what God said. And so he said, no, I come at you in the name of the Lord. And he took his slingshot. He took his slingshot and he got ready. And he didn't stand back and wait for Goliath to come at him. He ran at the problem. And he released that rock. And it hit him in the head. David cut his head off. Why? One reason and one reason only. Because he trusted that God had enabled him. God was with him. And God had empowered him to have the victory over the challenge. I don't know what your challenge is today, but I know you have some. We all do. Know that you have the victory today, not because of who you are, but because of who God is. Not because of how long you've been saved or you haven't been saved, but because of who God is. We are encouraged in Hebrews 11 to have faith and not cast away our confidence in God. We are encouraged to trust God no matter what. We are encouraged to hold on like those who went before us. David, Isaiah, Hannah, Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph, Jacob. The list goes on and on. The Apostle Paul, Peter. We're encouraged to be like these people. Noah, who built an ark. My God. In a time that people don't know anything about rain, but he heard God say, build an ark because it's going to rain. And so he did it. Nobody believing it but him. Nobody understanding it but him. His focus is on God. When you believe God like that, nothing can shake you loose. Nothing can distract you. Nothing can cause you to back down. When you believe God like that, oh God, help us to believe you. God, help us to trust you. Your trust in God is going to make you different. You're not going to be like everybody else. You're going to be the individual that God has called you to be. As a matter of fact, you're going to be like Jesus, not like everybody else. You're going to be like Jesus. 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 When you do it God's way. So we're encouraged here not to cast away our confidence, not to let the troubles of life sway us or get us off track, not to allow the things that come to discourage us or to disturb our peace get us off track. We're encouraged to know this one thing, that the Lord God is with me. That army in that valley that day, who were well suited in this world's armor and this world's way of fighting battles. They were afraid because they were not walking in the word of God and they were not walking in the understanding of God. But here's this. I told you a few minutes ago, even if you've grown weak and you're hanging on by a thread, here's what I want you to know. God has not let you go. And I want you to see this. God didn't let them go because they were there. God didn't let them go because they were weak. He kept on being God. He sent David in there to help. He sent David in there to rescue them, even in a time when they were in fear, even in a time when they were afraid and shaking in their boots, even in a time when they had forgotten that the Lord God had promised to always cause them to have the victory no matter who they encountered or what they encountered. They forgot all of that, but God in his faithfulness, hallelujah, sent David in to help them out of that situation and to give them reason again to look back at God and be confident. Wait a minute. God hasn't left me. God has not forsaken me. Oh my goodness. Even though I grew weak, even though I grew afraid, even though I'm just barely hanging on by a thread, the Lord God is upholding me by the power of his word. And the Lord God is sending me the help that I need right now. In this moment, God is calling you back from that place where you've fallen. In this moment, God is saying to you, get up again. I didn't let you go. I'm not letting you go. God is saying, I am keeping you, and you will hold on to the saving of your soul. Because where you're weak, I am strong. Where you don't understand, I'm the one who is going to give you the understanding that you need. I'm going to give you everything that you need, even in this time. That's why Luke 15 is just so good to me. When the boy goes away, throws away all of his blessings, throws away all of his inheritance. And the father says, welcome home. That's where the father is today. The father is saying, oh, you might have gotten befuddled this last year. Some things might have happened, but I want you to know, hallelujah, I didn't let you go. And then if you're somebody who only grew this last year, you just dug in there, God is saying, you're stronger, but you're not just stronger for you, you're stronger for the kingdom. God has prepared you for the days to come. And God is preparing us all for the days to come. God is raising up an army of people who will glorify him. I can't say that enough, that God is wanting hearts that are turned to him. So not so much the word in your head as in your heart, because a man lives out of his heart. Jesus said, whatever is in your heart, that's how you live. And so that's why the word of God has to be planted in your heart. That trusting God, that believing God, Lord, I believe you. That is the thing that will come up every time in your life. What you believe is really what you're going to do. You're going to act like what you really believe. So today, hear this word. The Lord wants you to have enduring faith. God wants you to have that faith that perseveres, that faith that is going all the way, not just saying I'm going all the way, that faith that will seize the hand of God and hold on to it and refuse to let go. God is helping us today to be his people. He's helping us today to be those people who will be like Enoch, who will be like Noah, who will be like Abraham, Isaac, Hannah, who will be like Zacharias, who will be like Simeon. He's calling people who will stand their ground, knowing that they're standing on the rock of their salvation, which is Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. He's calling for people who will not break and run because troubles are bigger than they are. He's looking for people who will just believe that he is God. And it will be demonstrated in every area of your life. I just feel this thing has to be so literal. It's got to be so literal with us that we would be wondering why we would do anything else. Just with God so till the thought of going in another direction is not even what we want to do. God will help us. God is helping us. And I just thank God for all that he's brought us through and for all that he will bring us through. You will hang in to the saving of your soul if you will allow the word of God, hallelujah, to take hold in your heart so much so that your life is a reflection of God's word and God's will. God needs a people and will have a people, hallelujah, who will believe him to the nth degree, even to the death. Father God, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus for your will, for your purposes, for your desire, for your design. I thank you, Lord God, for how you are working in our lives and adjusting and readjusting and framing our lives until we are the people who glorify you. Until we are the people who not only say your name, but we live and demonstrate your name. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every believer, strong or weak today, under the sound of my voice, hallelujah, hallelujah. I pray for strength in the inner man. I pray for mind renewal. I pray, Lord God, for a people who are listening today and will determine in their hearts to trust you and then allow the Holy Ghost to help them every step of the way. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for the unbeliever today. Anyone who's listening who does not believe that Jesus is the Savior, I pray this day that you will believe that Jesus Christ, hallelujah, is the one true way back to the Father. That you would believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins. Hallelujah. 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 And confess it with your mouth. In Jesus' name, I pray for your salvation today. Father God, I thank you and I praise you for your faithfulness. Amen. Glory to God. God bless you, and we'll talk to you next time.
Amen, church. So let's just keep holding on to God. And when we do, we will see the power of God displayed in our lives. Amen. If you need somebody to reach out to you, or you would like to be contacted, you can send us a message here on Facebook Messenger and someone will get in touch with you. Or you can go to our website and there's a form there that you can fill out and somebody will reach out to you. Or you can call 314-287-3013. And again, somebody will reach out to you. We invite you to join in our virtual weekly interactive services. We will be resuming those this week, Monday. Well, every morning we have prayer from Monday through Friday at 5:30 a.m. If you would like to be a part of that, send us an email at twcbrooklyn@gmail.com and we will send you that information so that you can join us every morning. We have Sunday school on Sundays at 9:30 a.m., Bible study Mondays at 7, prayer meeting on Wednesday at 7 meeting, all via Zoom. And if you are not receiving that information and you would like to, again, send an email to twc@brooklyn.com and we will get that information out to you. Let us know if you want to receive it by email or by text. Also, we want to announce that next Sunday, we have resumed the marriage ministry. And so that group will be meeting next Sunday, January 10th at 2 p.m. on Zoom. And so the call-in information will be sent in to you prior to that meeting. Otherwise, just stay connected, by visiting our website at transformingwordchurch.church. Or if you're on the go, you can download our app. And which will take you back to the website and you can get everything, all the information that you need to know. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube channel, all under the name of Transforming Word Church. And just remember that Christ lives in you, who is our hope of glory. We're bringing glory to his name. And so now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Every heart say, amen. God bless you again. Happy New Year. Thank you for joining us today, and we will see you next week. Have a great week.